Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet, and you'll recall that just yesterday we were talking about the right to be kena, an eved, from a goy who had stolen that eved from a Jew, and then we had the whole machlokas, Abaye v'Rava, what the din is in terms of the Machlokas, the Rabbonin, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, as to whether he's Mishtabeh, do we return him to the first owner, do we actually set him free, is there a takana that we're afraid that people won't be kind to him because they'll think he's just an Eved, what do I got to be paid him for, or is there a problem of Chizkiah, which is that people won't be able to keep their Avodim if they're going to be able to get themselves captured and then belong to someone else. In the context of yesterday's discussion, we raised the problem of how in the world would a Jew anyway be able to become an Eved from Goyim that captured him, since Goyim don't have a right to own Goyim. So we said that it's true that they don't have a right to own Goyim as a Kinyan HaGuf, but they do have a right to the work. And since we prove that from the fact that a Goy can even own a Yisroel for his work, and therefore Kosher Keni can be Kena Anovik Echovim, so today we just want to know what type of kinyanim are we talking about? Because over here, what was the kinyan? There wasn't really a kinyan. There was just a kidnapping. So is that considered to be a kinyan? So therefore today, the Gemara wants to know, we got up to lo kol shekein yesterday. So today, the Gemara wants to know on the seventh line down. So maybe this is only animilu b'kaspa. Natosis learns that the question over here, and this is very mistaber in terms of the Gemara, that the question that the Gemara has over here, it's all very nice to say that the Pasuk in Vayikra that was talking about Mikesev Miknaso, remember? That was the whole thing. You have to be deduct Mikesev Miknaso to allow him to be paid to himself, and so those are the same things that we had about an Eved Ivri to Yisrael. So fine, it talks about Kesev Miknato, sure enough. But that doesn't mean that you could be kind to him with a chazaka. So the chazaka that we're talking about over here, Rashi puts into the Gemara that the same way that a ben Noach does not have a din of kinyonim of chazaka because kol kinyonov are bekesev, he doesn't have a din of kinyon chazaka on karkaot, and therefore, how did he have a kinyan of chazaka on the Eved over here? Tosfos learns this has nothing to do with the question of how he has normal kinyanim on karka. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about over here the chazaka of kivush. This is kivush milchama. Do they have a right to capture somebody and call that a kinyan? That's the question. I understand if you have a legal kinyan and you bought, so fine. So you own at least legabe the work. But over here, what kind of legal kinyan do they have? They walked off with him. So they used basically the koyach of kivush, which is in milchama. Do they have that type of kinyan? And this is the way that Tosfos understands the Gemara, which fits into the entire description that we have later on. This is the Rabbeinu Tam's approach. And this is the Rabbeinu Hanano's approach as well, that we're talking about chazaka of the cheskas kivush. So is there such a thing as an ability to simply walk off with them? Omer of Papa, yes. That's this week's parsha. Remember that Ammon and Moab were tiaru b'sichon, that it was only because of the milchama that Sichon had, and this is the whole complicated issue that we have in this week's parsha. And remember that actually Yiftach sends this whole message back when Sichon wants that all of that property should be given back. You know, look, Yiftach says, I understand, why are you guys declaring war on us? What do we ever do to you? What are you talking about, man? You walked off with half of our territory, and you're saying we don't owe you? And as Yiftach explained, no, of course you do. We don't owe you, because there was no way that we would have had a right anyway to walk off with anything that belonged to Ammon, because the Torah prevents us to declare war on Ammon or to use any kind of force against them. So how do you think that we did that? We did it because it wasn't Amun anymore, buddy. It was because Sichon had defeated you, walked off with this, and so on. So what are we talking about? So then that means Amun and Moab, which the Bnei Yisrael would not have been able to conquer and take over their territory. What made it mutter to take over their territory? The fact that they were captured in war by Sichon. And now that means that he has a real kinyan on them, and they're not called the territories anymore of Amun and Moab. Ah! So if that's the case, if Amun and Moab were Tiro b'Sichon, so then that would mean that when we took them the same way that this guy is going to be koine, something that a goy took by capturing, and that would be, clearly, a goy can actually use the chazokah of kibush. But wait a minute, that's only a goy from another goy. So Sichon was able to take over. Yes, that's true. But do we know that an Ovid Kechovim can do the same thing from a Yisrael, which is what happened over here? He walked off, these guys walked off with a Eved that belonged to Yisrael. Yes, also in this week's Parsha, ha! So it says over here, Vayish bimenu Shevi, and that they, it says Shevi. Shevi means that the Vayishma Knani, after the death of Aaron, and they walked off with, as Rashi says, one Shivcha, whatever, but the fact is that they are called Shevi. So if they're called Shevi, that means that even though they were Jewish, they're called Shevi. Now, you'll say, so if that's the case, why did we bring the Pusik before about Sichon that has, which didn't prove anything? No. As Tosis explains, we need both. Because with the story of Sichon, we see that it's an actual Kenyan, and it's called theirs. But just because it says they walked off with a captive doesn't mean that they have a legal right to the captive. You're looking for, how do we know they have a legal Kenyan? Once we put the two together, that we see that, no, when they have a captive, that it actually becomes theirs. So then the fact that we include a Jewish shivcha in that means that they have an actual kinyan. That's the point. And if that's the case, in our sugya as well, if you buy a eved back from goyim that have captured him from a Yisrael, then in fact, if the person had been miyayish, then you own him. Omer of Shaman bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, an Eved, how about in a case where a Goy captures a Eved Kanani of a Jew, and now they're holding him in this holding cell to ransom him off, and the guy stages a prison break, and he runs away. The din is over there, he is Yotze L'Cheirut, by running away, if we're talking about L'Acher Yush, he's going to himself, and if he got away, he does not in any way need his original owner. Not only does he not need to work for the original owner, but we will actually force the original owner to write him out a get shichrur, because since over here this person was mal l'shem mitzvahs, this person was tovo l'shem mitzvahs, and at this point after yush, that nobody has any kind of financial chiyuvim here over here. Nobody owns him. But the problem is that he can't yet marry a Yisraelis because he needs a get shichrur to make him a complete Jew. So therefore, if he is in that kind of situation, he would be stuck. What's he going to do? He can't marry anybody. And because of that, we will force the Odin to write him a get shichrur to be mater him in a Bas Yisrael. Tonight. Now, the problem is that our Mishnah seems to say not like this. It says, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Eimer, ben kachu, ben kach yishtabed, that the halacha is that no matter what, he should be mishtabed. Now, okay, so what? So, I mean, but we know that this is a machlokah. So what's the problem? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan could simply have said, we'll force him to give him a get shichra according to the Rabbanah. Ah, the problem is that Omar Rabba Barbachana Omar Biochana and Koma Kom Shishana Rib Shimon Ben Gamliel Ben Mishnatenu Halacha Kamoto. Wherever, this is Rabbi Yochanan himself, is saying the halacha is paskin like Rib Shimon Ben Gamliel. then that would mean that Rabbi Yochanan contradicts himself, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he goes back to work for the original owner. And Rabbi Yochanan says that's the halacha. And here Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying that the halacha is that we will actually force the guy to give him a get shichur. Now, you can't get two completely contradictory opinions more contradictory than that. And this is true in all cases except for Orev, Tzidon, and Re'ayah Achreina, which, of course, none of those is this. So then that means we've got a contradiction. So according to Abaye, fine, there's no contradiction, because Abaye understood that Rav Shimon Gamliel was talking about the case is Lifnei Yish, right? Okay. In the case that Rabbi Yochanan said that if he escaped from jail, that he's free, that's talking about Yachar Yish. There was no ownership of him in the Mela. We could force the guy to write a Get Shichra. But according to Rava, that learned that the Mishnah is talking about Yachar Yish, so then we've got a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan over here. Kasha to Rabbi Yochanan, Adi Rabbi Yochanan. Because if it's Yachar Yish, so how do we explain it? According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you have to give it back even Yachar Yish. Amar lecha Rava, what's your problem, for heaven's sakes? Remember, the way that I'm understanding the Mishnah is that Yachar Yish, you give him back to the original owner. Why? Because of Chizkiah. Chizkiah said, we don't want people going, running over to Goyim and say, here I am, capture me, take the key to the ignition, right? Okay, this guy just risked his life to escape from a holding pen of Goyim. And now what? You're telling me, oh, he's going to go over to a Goy. Are you crazy? He's going to go over to a Goy after risking his life to run away in order to, that makes no sense. So obviously, once the person ran away, and Hashta Liktola Maser Nafshe, so he was a Boreach. A Boreach is shiny because he was willing to give up his life, chance that if he's caught, he's obviously going to be shot. So now you're worried that he's going to give himself over to be captured again. So in this case, of course, we will paskin exactly like, even though if I hold of Rabbi Shimon, in such a case, if he escaped, then it's not Nogei Rabbi Shimon. If he was Padui, then it is Nogei Rabbi Shimon, and I paskin like him. Everything's fine. Now, it once happened that Shmuel owned a Shifcha, and she was captured. So people got together, and they paid the goyim for her. They ransomed her, and they wanted to give her back to Shmuel. So they sent her back to Shmuel, and they said to Shmuel like this, we hold like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we always give back an eved, in this case a shivcha, to the original owner. But even if you hold like the Rabbona, we, Bedavka, bought her in order that she should be a shivcha to give back to you. And even the Rabbonin agree in that case. Now, they assumed that the case over here was that he had all not been miyayish, and that's why this would make sense. So Inu Savra, these very nice people, had made a mistake, because they thought that Shmuel had not been miyayish. And therefore, if it was not miyayish, then the halacha is that she remains his and is given back to him. But it wasn't true. And Shmuel knew it wasn't true. He knew that he had been miyayish. And that means that they had bought her back after, essentially, he was mafker her. And there, everybody agrees, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon agree, that she's a baschorin, even though they paid for, they were going alibad abaye, but it doesn't make any difference, even though it was done, because over here Abaye said, we're only talking about lifnei yish, and this was liyachar yish. Shmuel, by the way, you want to know what happened? Shmuel, not only did he refuse to take her back to be an ama, he said she doesn't even need a get cheres from me. And this is Shmuel Ashitase, because Shmuel holds, once an Eved is not owned, so somebody is Mafkir Atzmo, then he's Yotze L'Cheirus without any need for a Get Shichrur, and as opposed to what Rabbi Yochanan said, that there's two different dinim, and that in order to make him a Yisrael, that is Mutter in a Baschorin, you would still need a Get Shichrur, because that's the Chalois of the Kedushas Yisrael, Shmuel disagrees. And he says it's a beferish pasuk. Shenemar, v'chol eved ish miknat kesef. How do you explain this pasuk? An eved of an ish. That's ridiculous. Eved of an ish, what? And not an eved of an isha. I mean, there's no difference between men and women in terms of kinyanim here. So how could it say eved ish? Obviously, what it means is an eved who has an ish. That is to say, he's owned by somebody so that we can identify an owner. Eved ish. Doesn't matter, obviously, the sex of the owner. But only an eved sheyesh lo reshut rabo alav is an eved. So we're redefining what it means to use the word eved. Eved means the eved of someone who now has control over him. But if ein reshut rabo alav, ein or koroi eved. If the adon does not have power over him in any way, he's not an eved ish, and therefore he's not an eved at all. So if he's not an eved at all, what would be the problem of his marrying a bas chorin? It's only an Eved who's Asur and a Bas Chorin. And here, the Torah puts together the two issues of the financial control together with the din of the Kedushas Yisrael, because it calls the word Eved as being defined by that financial issue. And it also happened that Reb Abba Bar Zuta's Amma, his Shivcha, was stolen, and a guy from Talmud, bought her in order to marry her. And what happened is that the Rabbanan heard about this, and they sent an emergency message to Reb Abba, who owned her, and says, if you want to do what's right, iyoit avadet, send her immediately a get shichra. No, that doesn't make any sense. What get shichra? I understand. Are the goyim, this guy's willing to sell her, and they have the money? What's the point of the get shichra? Idamatsu parkile. So what's this emergency get shichra? All you want to do is to be po to her. So be po to her and send her back to Rababa. Why are you telling Rababa to send her a get shichra? And if they did not have the money and the guy didn't want to sell for whatever money they did have, so then what good is a get shichra? I don't understand what you're talking about. No. The case was over here. They had the money. And the guy, however, was in a position to make the difference, because the guy who was willing to sell doesn't mean that guys were going to, the Jewish people in town were going to actually get the money together. So the Rabbanan wanted people to know that she was no longer a shivcha, because this was exactly the problem. They didn't believe Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Shita. And they held there is no mitzvah to be paid a eved or a shivcha. So they said, well, we don't want to give money for your latest tzedakah project to buy back a shivcha. Get out of here, man. I'd rather put up a new bridge. So therefore, they sent a message. If you will send her a get shivcha, then people will say, oy vey, she's Jewish. I guess we're going to have to put in money to be paid to her. That's what it meant. That's one approach. Or I could say, you know what? The guy didn't want to sell her. He had bought her as a wife. He wanted her as a wife. Why would he sell her for money? But the point was, they had this brilliant idea. If a get shichra arrives in town from her owner, then that means that everybody's going to know that this woman was once a Jewish shivcha. What self-respecting Talmudoi would want to have a wife that was owned by a Jew? Blah. So therefore, he would then be willing to allow them to ransom her. So it's not that they couldn't get the money together. They had the money. The guy refused to give her. But once it gets out that there's this whole legal thing and it came to court, people are going to look at the guy and say, you're going to marry who? No, me, marry? Of course not. So he sells her. That's the point. But wait a minute. Just because she's a Jewish shivcha, the guy wouldn't want her. Didn't we say that Ovdei Kochavim prefer having sex with an animal of Yisrael more than with their own wives? So, I mean, a shivcha at least is not a horse. I mean, why would he not want her as a wife if he's ready to accept a horse? No, that's only in private. But they're not going to make a wedding. I mean, look, they wouldn't make a wedding with a horse, would they? So they wouldn't make a wedding with a shivcha of Yisrael either. Exactly. So Befarhesia Zilabu Milsa, listen, I mean, it's beneath my covet to marry a Jewish shivcha, but what he does in his own bedroom, that's a different issue. But since over here he wanted her as a wife, he can't have her as a wife because it's a bizayin. So he'll sell her. So Hani Milabitzina Befarhesia Zilabu Milta. Another Maisa was an Amma that was in Pumbedisa, and the story over there was that she was everybody's sex toy. Now, there was a big problem because they wanted her to be able to be watched over by somebody if she didn't have any kind of husband. So then she was always going to be basically the big problem in town for all the yeshiva bachrim. And therefore, Abaya said, so what am I supposed to do? If Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel had not said that it's usur to be meshachrer an eved, and kol meshachrer avdo over ba'aseh, since it says in the Torah le'olam behem ta'avaydu, I would actually have forced the owner to write out a getshichror, and that way she would have been able to marry a Jew, and he would have put a stop to all of this hanky-panky. Ravina says, no, don't be silly. Ki ha'mayda Rabbi Yehuda, mishamilta di yisura. Rabbi Yehuda was saying, lo'olam behem ta'avodu. But, I mean, not in a case where it's lutzerich over here to prevent these yisurim. That you're allowed to be sending a get shichur. There shouldn't be any problem. And I don't understand. And Abaya holds that you're not allowed to give a get shichur and to force the guy to give a get shichur, even in a case where it's causing yisurim. Abaya mishum yisura lo. The Amr of Chanina bar of Ketina Amr of Yitzchak maaseh biyisha achat shechetz yashivcha vechetz yabat chorin. So once there was a woman who was owned by two partners. One of them was meshachrer. Now she's in big trouble because she can't have a husband. She's asura to the Jews because she's partially a shivcha. And she's asura to the Eved because over here she's partially a ben chupat chori. And Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak said that Rabba was kofe, the owner, to make her a bat chorin. And Rav Nachman said, you know why he did that? Because since she didn't have any husband, she became again everybody's hefker toy. And because of that, it's a maisa iser. So you see that very clearly. There's a psak yet from Duras HaKodmim. What was Abaya's problem that Abaya said he doesn't feel that it's appropriate? Oh, come on, says Abaya. It's not the same. In the case of a chatzi eved, a chatzi bas chorin. So over there, she can't marry anybody. She can't marry an eved. She can't marry a ben chorin. In this case, in Pumbedita, if I'm going to come and I'm going to tell the guy, send her a get shichur. He'll say, what I have to send her a get shichur? I can always give her to an eved, and the eved will take care of her and make sure that this hanky panky stops, right? So that's not a contradiction at all. And therefore, I basically don't feel that it's appropriate to force the guy. Now you'll say, why do I even need to force him? If it would be possible for her to marry an Eved, obviously it would be a lot better to be married to a normal guy instead of an Eved. I mean, you're telling me an Eved's going to be very careful that his wife, who's a Shivcha, is not going to carry on with other men. I mean, they don't care that much. So if she would have been able to be married to a Ben Yisrael, I would have preferred it. I can't do that because of the Isser of Le'olam Behem Tavodah, which is itself not so pashut, because Gufa. Omer of Yerom Shmuel, kol ha-meshachrer avdo, over ba'aseh, shenemar lo'olem ba'em ta'avod. So Meisve, in the Braita, it says that there was a Meisve with Rebbe Eliezer, famous Meisve. He comes into Shul, and there's not 10 people. There's only 9 people, and he needs a minion. So what does he do? He's meshachrer at avdo, and he was mashlim the minion with his eved. How could he be mashlim the minion with his eved if he's going to be over on an iser? Says the Gemara, mitzvah is different. Of course, it's usur normally to be meshachrer. But in this case, since it's going to be the Torah mitzvah, and the Mefarshim speak out that it's a mitzvah of the rabbim, because it was needed for the minion. So memela, based on the Gemara brachas, we have a mitzvah of a rabbim, is more chashiv than a mitzvah that's only for a yachid. Okay, over here, le'olam b'hem ta'avod, there's a mitzvah on a yachid. The mitzvah of the Rambam is more chashuv. So he went ahead and he was mashum the minyan. The truth is, however, not everybody is made that this is a iser. Because Tana Rabbana, le'olam b'hem ta'avodu, according to Rabbi Yishmael, is only a rishus. The Torah wants you to know that even though you're supposed to be ma'abed the Shiva Amamim, but people that were born from a Kananit, this is the pasuk that we had about Le'atoshavim, that them lo'olam b'hem ta'avod. So the lo'olam b'hem ta'avod don't think that they are usher for you to work with since they are from Kananot women. No, lo'olam b'hem ta'avod. It's not a problem. You go according to the father. That's all that it's coming to say. So says Rabbi Yishmael. It's not a chiv that you are not allowed to free them. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, no, it's actually a chiv. In which case, maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds, like the Mandi Omar, that it's only a rishus, which is divrei Rabbi Yishmael. You don't even have to say that he did that because it was a tzerach hamitzvah. No, that's not the correct explanation. Lo sarkadaita. Because it says beferish in a braisa, Rabbi Eliezer himself says it's a cheva. So he does not hold of Rabbi Yishmael. So why then was he over on his own learning? That's because it was the tzerach mitzvah. And the maisa, this mitzvah, we understand, is, I mean, why would we say that we should so easily be willing to give up on a mitzvah? Because even according to Mani Omar, who says that it's a cheva, basically, many Rishonim understand that what it means is begeter lo techanem. Right? Lo techanem means don't give free gifts to an Ovid Kerchove. Chinem. The same type of idea. What all of a sudden you're feeling, you know, you've got a liberal heart, so it's not right. No. Don't just for no reason. But if that Eved, some of the Rishonim speak out, if that Eved has been very good to you and you feel a chiv of Hakaras Teva, that's not chinam. That's the equivalent of a sale. By his special care for you, he earned his freedom. That wouldn't be called a violation of l'olam b'hem ta'avodu, even if it was a cheva, according to those Rishonim. And basically, if there's any kind of tzerech, so for sure, if the getter is a lo techanem getter, so then there's no problem. Omar Rabba, you should know that people are makil on this, and they end up destroying their own property. I can tell you that Bahani Tlat Mili, Nachte Ba'ale Batim Inich Sehon. There's three things that I have seen, Chata'im, that cause people that are well off to lose their, all of their stature. They lose their money and they lose their place. The Mafke Avdei L'Cherusa. Number one, these guys all become liberals. And so what they do is they free their slaves, you know. I mean, slavery, that's not my cup of tea. And so that's the first thing they do. And the other thing they do is the Sairin Yechsair B'Shabbat. They're not B'Challah Shabbos, but they take a walk around the property and they think to themselves, oh, we're going to have to fix that road tomorrow. Oh, I better send a tractor out there. So they have all worked out on Shabbos. That you're not supposed to be doing on Shabbos, even if you don't do the actual malacha. But it means that you're already... you're planning your work. And the other thing that they do is they work out that their big su'uda comes out, oh dear me, it was just at the time that the Rav was giving a drasha. Ay vey. Well, what can I do? I invited so many people. I mean, obviously, we'll just have to miss the drasha this week. So they're koveya their su'uda at the time of the drasha. And because of that, they're also... they lose their property. I can tell you that there were shtei mishpachot ayu b'Yerushalayim. There were two people, two big families that were very famous in Yerushalayim. Now, one of them were koveya their su'udah on Shabbos, at the time of the drush. And one of them said, no, actually, in order to avoid having a big meal at the time of the drusha, we will have our main Shabbos meal Friday night. And that way we can have all of our guests Friday night, and then we can stay for the Kiddush and for the Drasha. That's how some of the Rishonim learn. And therefore, they were Koveh the Suda on Friday night. Be'erev Shabbos often means Friday night. And Shteyim Nekru, both of these families were basically wiped out. They lost all of their money, they lost their chashivas, and so on. Others learned that it means literally Be'erev Shabbat. What does that mean? That these people were so rich that every day they used to have a fancy meal. You know, not like normal people have a tuna fish, you know, sandwich or something. They had a 3-hour meal and a banquet, you know, go out to a restaurant, business lunch. They'd have a business lunch on Friday also. But you're not supposed to be eating a suet on Erev Shabbos. So because of that, it means literally Erev Shabbos, which is a little bit more reasonable. So remember that we have been talking about the various takonas that were made. And these takonas had to do, in the beginning, had to do with Gittin, had to do with Shlichus for Gittin, had to do with the Eidus of the Gittin, and we cut into the Inyanim of a principle. Meanwhile, we started dealing with the Inyanim Bichlal of Takanas. However, it's not so Inyanim Bichlal, because the truth is that the aspects of the Dinim of Avodim, remember, are learned out from the Inyanim of Gittin, and vice versa, Lola Mi'isha. Because of Law Sefer Kritut, and we have by the sugya of the Shivcha, it says, the Chufshalo Nitan La, in the sugya of the Chatzi Shivcha, the Chatzi Bas Chayin, where it was talking about the din of the Chiyuv of an Asham for someone who sleeps with a Shivcha, who was together with an Eved, so that's a Shivcha Charufa. It uses the Lashon of Law. Chufsha lo nitan la. Chufsha is a get shichra. So that means that the get that is given to a shivcha, or to an eved, and the get that's given to a woman is basically the same din. In which case, the takonas that we have over here are definitely directly relevant to the Maseches Gittin, and not simply adjuncts to the inyanim of the takona and the various takonas that we brought before of Rabbi Gamliel. So even though the original takona that got us started on the Avonim thing was really not nogea the get, but was nogea the question of what the halacha is if an eved is captured, and whether there's a takona about who is returned to at the end, which is a very complex machlokas we had yesterday between the way that Abai understood the sugya and the way Rav understood the sugya about the machlokas of Rabbanim Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, the question is, we're getting into the deeper interconnections of all of the halachas that are nogea, the relationship of shichrur eved to shichrur isha, so to speak. In other words, get and the idea of the get shichrur. Omer Rabba, Omer Rav. So where we're up to now, we're continuing on from the daf before, and we're on Lamed Chasamid Beis. So Omer Rabba, Omer Rav, Hamagdish Avdo Yatzel Echirut. Somebody who says his eved should be kodesh, incredibly, the eved goes out to freedom. My time, huh? The time is like this. Gufe lo kodesh. Ledome lo ka'omar. The question is, what could the man have simply meant? I mean, what does it mean to say my eved should be kodesh? So now, Rabbi Isai, this is a complex again. I want to point out to you that there are a number of alternatives that we could understand is meant by these words. Okay? Oops. Trying to get some glasses to be able to see something, but nothing is working too well. So. All right, let's see. We'll try this. Okay. So, well, at least I got a couple of smiles. Okay, that's worth it. That keeps me going. I got three great smiles. Look at this. Unbelievable. Okay. So here's the deal. What could be meant? Oh, boy, four. What could be meant when somebody says, my eved should be kodesh? So, obviously, you can't bring an Eved on the Mizbeach despite today's Haftar, right? Okay. And furthermore, you cannot, now this is the question. Furthermore, says Rashi, you cannot give him to the Bedek HaBayit because he's not Roy Lebinyan, which doesn't make any sense. Because, I mean, certainly you can give things to the Bedek HaBayit that belong to the Bedek HaBayit in terms of their value, right? But that's not the same as saying, I want to build them into the building. I mean, after all, didn't we give to the Bedek HaBayit the wagons that we're going to be carrying Hegdish with? That's not Kodesh B'Kedush Zaguf. It's not Kodesh B'Mizbeach. That's part of the Kedush HaSadonim to Bedek HaBayit, right? So we certainly have a concept of Kedushas Damim, Lebedek Habayit. But the question is, with Kedushas Damim, Lebedek Habayit, is there an actual Kedusha on the Eved? That's the question. And this itself devolves into several very important issues. Here I feel that because the sugya is extremely complex, it's kedai for us to take into consideration in advance the issues. Ari, it was great seeing you even in the dark. You know, you don't have to hide behind Gryffindor. I mean, I understand where you belong, but well, maybe if it's that dark, you might as well. So the question is like this. The pashtus, when a person says, my eved should be kodesh, that's what the lashon that the guy is using is. That implies that there's some level of kedusha on the actual eved. Is there a level of kedusha if you give the eved to the bedek habayit? That is a machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos. And even according to Tosfos, who says, yes, you could certainly give your eved to the bedek habayit. And I'll explain why we get into this. But nonetheless, it just means that the bedek habayit owns the value of the eved. But that doesn't mean that the eved has any kedusha. So for instance, if something is actually kodesh for the bedek habayit, even though it can't be brought on the mizbeach, let's say it's a behemah tmeah, are you allowed to use that behemah tmeah? Or will you be mo'el on the behemah tmeah? This will be, even though it's not Kodshei Hashem, but you're being over on an Isser Hanoah of Hegdash, for sure, right? You're not allowed to be Nene from Hegdash. This belongs to Hegdash. However, when it comes to the Eved, there is no Isser Hanoah on the Eved. Therefore, the language, according to the whole idea of yours, the problem of language, the language of saying, my Eved is Kodesh, doesn't make any sense. An Eved can't be Kodesh. If you wanted to say that the value of the Eved is Kodesh, you could say that. You could say, Dmei Avdi is Kodesh Lebedek Habayit. Or, now there's another alternative, and this is the one that Rashi learns the sugya is talking about. You could say, Dmei Avdi Alai. And that's just the concept of Damim. And what it means is that I owe the value of my Eved to Hegdash, but it doesn't mean that I'm giving Hegdash anything. It's just a neder. It's a way of making a neder that you will give that value of the Eved to Hegdash. Okay. So then there's one other alternative that makes a mess of the whole thing. And that is, if we prefer to understand the language that the person is using as being meaningful in and of itself, there is a real interpretation that is possible. Namely, the being a Ben Yisroel is a level of kedusha. Ki am kadosh ata mashem elokecha. Am kadosh means that we can use the adjective of kadosh, which means that if somebody says my eved should be kadosh, what he might mean is he should become a full Yisrael, and I am hereby meshachrer him. Right now, this is what Rav holds, that when you say my eved should be kadosh, what you mean is he should be Jewish. He should be fully Jewish. That's what you mean. In which case, what you're saying is that you want to be Mishachrir, this Eved, and in doing so, that turns him into a complete Ben Yisrael. That's the point. So it's an actual type of giving Kedusha. Moshe Feinstein has a whole big discussion about this, in which he explains that there's no meaning in terms of a Get Shichrur to say you should be Kodesh. It's an actual act of giving Kedusha. And that act of giving him Kedusha makes him Mishukhar, because now he's a Ben Yisrael. Okay, and we'll see that this is essentially the way that Rashi understands the sugya.
What does it really say, without a get? Shukhar.
Without a get, we'll worry about the get Shukhar. I haven't finished my introductions. I haven't talked about yet the question of whether you need a get Shukhar. That's a question later on, which we'll get to. But first, we're talking about the language. So it is possible to make your Eved Kodesh, literally, if what that means is that he is a Jew. And that's what you meant by Kodesh, the Kedushas Yisrael. Now, another thing that we have to realize before we begin the sugya is that there are two different inyanim about an Eved. One is the ownership of the Eved. That is a din in Mominus, and it's like any other dine Mominus. The other is that there's a din of Iser in an Eved. The din of Iser in an Eved is the equivalent of the din of Iser in a woman. That's what the Gemara was learning out of La La Mi Isha. In other words, the relationship of an Eved to a Baal is equivalent to the relationship of a woman to a Baal, in the sense that in the same way that you can only remove the Isurim that result from that relationship. In the case of a woman, the fact that she's not allowed to be sleeping with anyone else. In the case of an Eved, that he's not allowed to be sleeping with any Bas Yisrael, because he is in a state of Avdus that prevents him from being married. So in other words, both of these states are essential to understanding the interrelationship of sexual relationships afterwards. And that's why the Torah is making them similar. An Eved is defined sexually by his relationship, because he cannot have relations with a Bas Yisrael as long as he is an Eved. And the only way to take that off is with a get, in the same way that a woman is not allowed to have relations with anyone else as long as she's married. And the only way to take that Iser off is with a get. Now we're going to see how serious that comparison is when we consider what happens when the Odin dies. Is that the same thing as a husband dying? Or do we need a special pasuk that tells us that it is not under certain circumstances? Again, I'm just opening up the sugya to you so that you understand right out at the beginning that it is not a simple issue, that just because you no longer own the Eved, that necessarily means that this Eved is a Ben Chayrin. Where is the get that made him a Ben Chayrin? Okay, so given this introduction, let us now take a look at what it was that Rav was saying, according to Rabbah. Omar Rabbah, Omar Rav, HaMagdish Avdo Yatzah L'Cheirut. This is the Yatzah L'Cheirut as to whether he requires a Get Shichur, that we'll take a look in a moment. But first of all, you need to understand that saying, my Eved should be Kodesh, means that I'm freeing him. Why? My Taima. Because what else would I mean? His goof is certainly not Kodesh, not for anything, not to the Bet HaKabayit, and not to the Mizbeach. Again, as I mentioned before, not to the Bet HaKabayit is a Machlokas Rashi and Taisis, which we'll get into later. So, what could he mean? He could mean the other alternative, namely, that Domav shall Avdi Alai. But if that's what he meant, then that's what he should have said. He never said Domai Alai. So the Dami Loka Amar, therefore the only thing that's left is Delahavi Am Kadosh Kamar. He must have been saying that his Eved should be a Jew. Now Rav Yosef Amar Rav, that was Rav Amar Rav, Rav Yosef Amar Rav, HaMafkir Avdo Yatza L'Cheirut, that if he removes his monetary ownership of that Eved, the Eved goes free. Again, does that mean he needs a Get Shichur or not? That is not clear. And we're going to discuss that later. But it means he's Yotze L'Cheirus in terms of his not being able to be mishta'abed by anybody. So the man d'yomer magdish, if you're telling me that even by being magdish, you meant the same thing, that you want him to be free and a Jew, so koshekein mafkir, because when you say mafkir, you are basically taking off any rights that you have to control him. But the man d'yomer that Rav said mafkir, and Rav did not say magdish, Magdishlo, because indeed, according to this, Rav would have said, maybe when he said, my Eved should be Kodesh, he means he should be Kodesh for Domim, L'Domi Ka'oma. Okay. Iboilo. So now the question is what Alon asked before. In these two cases, Tzarich Get Shichur Olo Tzarich, does this mean that in removing the Baalut through Hefker, or in by saying that he should not be in my rishus and instead he should be in Am Kodesh, does that mean that this handles the Isser as well? Or is it only a din in the Mominus? And what is the tzad that it would handle the Isser? Because if the point is that an Eved is defined as someone who is owned, like we saw before, Eved Ish, if he's not an Eved Ish, then he's not an Eved at all, which would mean that the status of Avdus that prevents him from marrying a Bas Chayrin is by definition no longer there. because he's not an Eved Ish. And therefore, he would not need a get shechrur because he simply is no longer an Eved. That's the question. Do we need a positive act to make him into a ro'oi lisa bat chorin? So, Toshma, let's see if we can prove the response to that. The Om Rav Chiya Baravin Om Rav, Echad Zeh, the Echad Zeh, Yatzeh Lechirut, Vitzorech Get Shichrur. So according to this, Rav said both HaMagdish Avdo and HaMafkir Avdo, and also insisted that you do need a Get Shichrur. Omar Rabba, Omotvina Nashmaitim. Now, even though I was the one who said this, says Rabba, I was the one who quoted that Rav says Amagdish Avdo Yotzeh Lecheirus. However, I want it to be understood that I have problems with my own maimer that I said over from Rav, because it says in the Braita like this, Amagdish Nechatsav. Somebody has a lot of different things, right? So he says, I want all of my property to go to Hegdash. But he says it as, I want it to be Hegdash. Fine. Now, in that property, we have Avadim. It says in the Braita that Ein Hagezbarim Rishaim Lahotzi'an Lecherut Avo Mochrim Otam La'achirim V'achirim Motzi'im Otan Lecherut. Now, this doesn't make any sense at all according to Rav, because Rav says that in the event that somebody was Magdish's Eved, Hegdish has no rights at all to the Eved, and all that happens is that the Eved goes free, right? And here the Braisa says that according to the Tanna Kamma, the Eved certainly does not go free. The Eved is in the Rishus of the Gizborim, but the Gizborim cannot give him a Get Shichrur. What the Gizborim can do is they could sell him. So they could sell him to someone else, and that someone else can then be Motzi him Lecherus. Now let's try to analyze the logic of this. So what this is saying is that indeed it's true, an Eved is not going to be physically belong to Hegdash. Only his value will belong to Hegdash. Now that's the same thing, remember, that we had in the sugya of an Eved that was captured by Goyim, and now somebody buys them from the Goyim. So the Gemara asked, how could you buy them from the Goyim? The Goyim don't have any kinyonim in the Eved. And we said, the Goyim have kinyonim for the work of the Eved, even though they don't own the body of the Eved. Once you bought the rights to the Eved from the Goyim, you can then be Magdish, so to speak, for Avdus, by being Matfil him la'Avdus, right? Now, basically, the same type of issue is happening here. Somebody gave his Eved to Hegdash. An Eved cannot become physically Hegdash. So therefore, what he's really doing in this Braisa is he's giving the value of the Eved to Hegdash. Do not confuse giving the value of the Eved to Hegdash with saying Domi Alai. Those are two completely different issues. If you give the value of the Eved to Hegdash, then Hegdash is in charge of the value of the value. It sells the value. It does what it wants with the work of the Eved. If you say Domi Alai, Hegdash doesn't even ever know about this Eved. Domi Alai simply means that I commit myself to give the value of this Eved to Hegdash. The Gizborim never see the Eved, nobody knows from the Eved, has nothing to do with Hegdash. So obviously this Braita is not talking about understanding the statement as being Domi Alai. That's for sure. So the Tanna Kamma is saying over here, Hegdash owns the value of the Eved, despite the fact that it doesn't own his body. Since it doesn't own his body, there's no relationship of Odin to Eved, and therefore I cannot give him a Get Shichrur. So the Gizborim of Hegdash themselves cannot provide a Get Shichrur. But if they turn around and sell him, which they do have a right to do, even though that sale is not a sale of the body, but a sale of the rights to the value, just like we saw before, that whoever ends up owning the rights to the value has the rights to make use of the Eved, if he's a Yisrael, in terms of the relationship of Adon to Eved. That relationship of Adon to Eved requires a Get Shichrur. So then the person that bought him, if the person that bought him wants to give him a Get Shichrur, he can, even though Hegdash cannot. Okay? This is clearly delineating the different types of possibilities that we have. And it is definitely not like Rav. It can't possibly work out like Rav. Because Rav said, the only way to understand the statement that my Evet should be Kadesh, if I make such a statement, is that he should be an Am Kadesh. And that he should become Kadesh B'Kedushas HaGuf. How can a human being become Kadesh B'Kedushas HaGuf? Like each and every one of us is Kadesh B'Kedushas HaGuf as an Am Kadesh. An amazing idea. Fine. So then if that's the case, it's even crazier than you think, this idea, the way that Rashi understands it. Because what Rashi understands is that even though it says Beferish in the Torah, it talks about the fact that a Ish Ki Achrim and discusses, as we're going to see, being Machrim, your property as, and it says Beferish, whether it contains Behemoth, Kol Cheir Masher Yechoram Ish LaHashem, Mikol Asher Lo, Me Adam Ubehema, Adam? What's Adam? Adam obviously means is Avodim, right? There's a Beferish of Pusik that you can make Avodim Kadesh. So what in the world is going on? The Gemara is going to ask this on Rav in a minute. But clearly there is a concept of making a person Kadesh for his Domim. The problem over here, unbelievably, as Rashi explains it, is the same as taking an animal that is royal Mizbeach. That's called matfis tmimim lebedek abayit. So what's the din? If you take an animal that is roy for the mizbeach, and you say, but I don't want to give this to the mizbeach, I want to give this animal to the bedek abayit. What's the din? Eina yotzi midei mizbeach li'olam. There's no way that this animal can avoid being brought as a korban. So somebody's going to have to pay for it. Bedek abayit keeps the money, but then the animal is given as his korban, right? Incredibly, Rashi says that's exactly the issue here, according to Rav. Even though you might be able to say that a tame animal should go to the Bedek Abayit, but the moment that you say that a kosher animal, that is tam, goes to the Bedek Abayit, it goes to the Mizbeach. Well, guess what? The same thing is true about an Evet. An Evet is exactly the same as trying to give a Behemah Tamima to the Bedek Abayit. Because the Eved has a level of Kedusha that is beyond the Bedek Abayit. And what is that? He could be a Ben Yisrael. And that's a Kedusha Zaguf. So the same way, is that unbelievable? So the same way that a Behema that is Tamima cannot go to the Bedek Abayit, Rav is saying that an Eved that can be Kedesh Kedusha Zaguf as a Ben Yisrael cannot go to the Bedek Abayit, and therefore the Torah can't be referring to that. And in such a case, he would become a Jew. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay? Fine. So if this is how Rashi understands the sugya, so then that means that this braita is 100% against Rav. Because it says over here that Hegdash owns the money, and Hegdash can be sold, and the Gizborim sell it, and so on and so forth, right? Now, furthermore, not everybody agrees with this in the braita. Rebbe says, even worse, Rebbe says, I say, Omer Ani, why would the Gizborim have to sell it to a stranger? Why can't the Gizborim sell the Evet to himself? How can you sell an Evet to himself? Let's say that someone gives the Evet money with a condition that his Odin has no rights to that money. So then that money remains in the Rishus of the Evet. So if the Evet would pay that money to Hegdash, not as a pidyon, mind you, but as a buyout, because pidyon, the lashon of pidyon, again, this is so nogea, the dinim of Bechor on Pesach, that the Rambam talks about, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out and was paid to us, as if they're two different dinim. This is the sugya in which they're two different dinim. You can take them out. Yes, you can sell them. So now I own them. And you can be paid to them. If you try to, the Evet tries to be paid to himself, he will not go free. Because there's no pidyon, because they don't own his goof. They own the value. So if they sell himself to himself, yes, fine. So now he owns the value. But if he owns the value, then that means that the iser is a function of his owning himself. And therefore, poof, away goes the status of the avdus, says Rebbe. Why would you have to go through two separate steps? Fine. Lovely. But both of these approaches are absolutely the opposite of what Rav said, because Rav said you cannot be Magdish and Eved at all. The moment you try to do that, you are basically giving him a Kedushas HaGuf, which is the Kedushas Yisrael. And if you try to make him Kodesh as Bedek HaBayit, he becomes Kodesh as a Ben Yisrael. The same way that if you try to make a Behema Tamima Kodesh, Kedushas Bedek HaBayit. Okay? This is Rashi's approach. It's a dramatic approach. Tosfos fights him every step of the way. And as Tosfos points out, there's so many problems with this approach. I mean, to talk about why didn't the Gemara... Well, I'm not even going to tell you the Tosfos. It's hard enough to understand what's going on. I don't want to confuse you. Let's just talk about the issue over here so far, the way Rashi's learning it, okay? So anyway, this is against Rav. And Rav said, I asked this question myself, so therefore I don't understand. As says the Gemara, what do you mean? You're asking a Braita against Rav? Do you honestly think that Rav has an answer to this Braita? Obviously not. Rav is standing up there and telling you, this Braita is ridiculous. I don't believe a word of it. So you're not asking a kasha on Rav. You have to bite the bullet and recognize that Rav simply disagrees with this Braita. So you're saying, well, how does Rav disagree with the Braita? Rav is allowed to disagree with the Braita. Remember that Rav was the transition between the Tanaim and the Amoraim, and where he considers himself to be worthy, he's chaylik on the Braita. That's called, Gavi, Rav Tana Huvapolik. Rav Tana Huvapolik means that in those cases where he sees himself as a Tana, he can be chaylik on the Braita. Because this concept of not being chaylik is simply common sense that all were mekabel on themselves. It's no some kind of deraisa that you're not allowed to argue on a braisa, obviously. It's just that every single time that anybody argued with a Tana, they always turn out to be wrong, because the arguments are always beyond their mind. But if it's not, it's not. There's nothing that is magically not allowing you to argue with a Tana. My father, Zatzal, always used to bring a beautiful raya from Rashi, who argues on Unklus. Unklus was a Tana. How does Rashi argue on Unklus? Rashi's a Rishon. There's nothing innately wrong with arguing with a Tana. Okay. Anyway, so therefore, says the Gemara, Rabba, what's your problem? You explained what it was that Rav said, right? Okay. So you have to bite the bullet and say that Rav Tana with a Polik. Okay, ask the Gemara from another Braisa. And this Braisa, you can't say Rav is a Tana Vapolik, because this Braisa is built around a Pusik, which I mentioned to you a moment ago. Toshma, it says in the Pusik, Ach kol cherem, asher yacharem, yacharim ish lashem mikol asher lo miadam ubabeima, umiste akuzato, and so on. And we explain it. What's Adam? Miadam, elo avadav v'shifchotav haknaanim. So, if that's the case, how is Rav going to deal with the Pusik? It says beferish in the Pusik that you can make your Adam Kodesh. No, obviously Rav says that what the Pusik means is Achamai Eskina, Di Omer Ladami. You said beferish that you want it to be Ladami. Now, according to Rashi, that's not going to make any difference. What difference does it make if you said Ladami? Rashi's going to have to understand the words you said, ladami, means that you said damav alai, which is wild, right? The simple meaning of this is, as Tosfos says, you said ladami, meaning, since the whole problem over here was the semantic use of I want my Eva to be Kadesh, in this case, since you did not say that lashon, you said I want the damim to be Kadesh, there's no problem. But Rashi, who learns that if you give the Dami to the Bedek HaBayit, it's the equivalent of giving a Behemah Tmima to the Bedek HaBayit, which goes to the Mizbeach. So he can't say the simple meaning of the Gemara. He has to dray the Gemara to mean that when it says it's talking about Ladami, it means it's talking about a case where he said Dami Alai, because he does not agree that there's a fourth possibility, which is I'm giving him to Hegdash to be the owners of his value. So you see very clearly where the argument of Rashi and Tosfos now becomes focused in the Gemara, right? Okay. So therefore, Rav will have to explain that it's talking about over here that he said Lodami. So wait a minute. So why did you say a minute ago, oh my gosh, you're right, there's no way it can work out according to Rava. How could it work out according to Rava? After all, I mean, Rava says Beferish that he becomes an Am Kodesh. What do you mean? You could have said exactly the same thing you said before. You could have said that it's Ladami. You just said that it's Ladami. Why can't you learn that that brighter is that he said Ladami? Now here, Rashi's pshat becomes much better than Tosfos's pshat. Because as the Gemara points out, if it's Ladami, meaning Dami Alai, the way Rashi understands it, Gizborim have nothing to do with the preservation of China. The Gizborim never said, well, you say I'm giving the value of my Evet to Hegdash. Gizborim. The Gizborim don't even know anything about it. You bring the money and you give it to the Gizborim. Right? So the Dami, the most the Gizbor would have to do with it would be to make the Shuma. They have to estimate the value, whatever. That doesn't necessarily have to be done by the Gizbor of Hegdash. Anyway. So therefore, says the Gemara, how could it possibly mean the Dami? After all, it says over there, first of all, Eina Gizborim Rishayim Lahotziyam L'Cheirut. I mean, this is an insane statement. How could they be Lahotziyam L'Cheirut? Gizborim, they don't have anything to do with this. Gizborim Ayavidatay, what are they doing here? And then look at the next words. But the Gizborim can sell them to somebody else. What? Gizborim can't sell them to anybody? What are you talking about? The Gizborim? And other people are Motzian to Lacher. What other people? Who other people? Who sold them to other people? Acherim Ayavidatayu. And then you're telling me that Rebbe said about a case where somebody said, Dome Alai, Aimra ni afunotain to me atzmo. The Yotzim, they should come Okrolo. If we're talking about Dome Alai, what kind of Mokro Alai? This is just pure gibberish. I mean, it makes no sense at all, the Braita. Now, this, according to Rashi, is absolutely true. According to Tosfos, who says you could say Ladamim, then, I mean, what's so bad about this? Why can't it, if you're saying it's a Ladamim, then indeed the Gizborim own it, right? And they have rishus to sell it. So Tosfos has to have a very weak explanation of this. And here Rashi comes into his own in terms of the power of his pshat. The weak explanation of Tosfos is that, well, if a guy is magdish something so that its value is owned by Hegdash, it's not normal that it be sold. He would just go in and be paid it from Hegdash by adding a fifth and buying it back, and that's all. And that gives Hegdash the equivalent of its value. That's how Tosfos understands. Not very persuasive, but okay. All right, so we've got these two very different approaches. There is clearly a brisa that holds not like Rav. It is possible to be Magdash and Evet for his value to the Bet HaKabayit. And the only question that Rav holds is that that's impossible because there's the equivalent either, because according to Rashi, the equivalent would be the being Magdash Tmimim for the Bet HaKabayit, or according to Tosfos, it's not what you said. And since it's not what you said, so therefore, if you didn't say Ladami, then that's not what you meant. Fine.